Welcome back to Down to Brass Tacks. We are here with you until 2. We are joined by the director of, the station manager, David Ellis, has dropped in to say a few words. Mr. Ellis.
Well, I've been told that there were some comments which were made on the air, basically critical of a position that I had taken as what I see as a journalistic position, to have someone comment on the air on a matter that was seen as being of national importance. And I would have thought that if you are a journalist and you see that there is a situation in the country that more than one person has spoken of, even if there is some divergence of opinion on that in a critical area, it is relevant as a journalist and a media practitioner to bring it to the fore. The most important requirement for the journalist is that there is balance. And once that balance is brought, I don't understand what the criticism could be. What do you think?
No, I think the concern that the gentleman had, and certainly my concern, was the extent to which we both thought that the comments that were being made by Mr. Waldron were out of line because they were inconsistent with a policy decision that had been taken. My understanding is that the management of the Queen Elizabeth Hospital, the medical management, allowed for full ventilation of the issues. Those issues were raised and a decision was taken. The gentleman's comments just now, and certainly my comments in the issue, had more to do with the fact that we felt that it was not in order for the gentleman to have gone on this issue so extensively. I did say in response to him that I thought the conversation went on far too long, because essentially we had a situation where Mr. Waldron was on the program on Tuesday, and then he was also on the program on Wednesday, and he was repeating concerns that had been raised. We had the director of medical services responding and saying that those concerns were noted, but a decision was taken in the other direction.
Fine, but let's deal with this journalistically. There's something called balance, which means that if the man had been on the air the previous day, which he was, the only reason this matter came back up the next day is because, as I said at the start of the program, the hospital asked for the presence of others. That required some balance to whatever they were going to say. As far as I'm concerned, the doctor involved, he had to be in a position to determine and to know what his position was going to be. From my vantage point, I had to have balance on each occasion. So if the criticism is of the station and of our decision, I do not understand it as we sought to bring balance to the discussion.
Yeah, but I think that we're talking about two different things. My concern in the issue was regarding the comments that were made by Mr. Waldron.
Yeah, but that's for him.
The concern of the caller. The caller raised concerns about the fact that the thing was entertained in the first place. And my assumption is that he would deal with you on that. And he did say that he called to talk to you today and that you weren't here. So I guess he would deal
I felt that I needed to come and deal with it, because at the end of the day, if the criticism is of us, then we are supposed to be put in the same position as anybody else, which is the opportunity to put our perspective on it.
Which is fine, and I think that Mr. Statsman is the person, and I do hope and I look forward to Statsman raising these issues with you directly. My concern in terms of that whole issue is that I did not have an opportunity previously to offer my view. I have offered an opinion on the substantive matter. The question as to the way in which it was presented and so on, as I said, that's a matter for Statsman to raise with you directly. I wasn't getting involved in that. Well, that was the reason why I said initially I really didn't think that
the context of balance was the important point that needed to be made on this. And if quite frankly, if the Queen Elizabeth Hospital had not asked for a second day on that, it is highly unlikely that it would have developed like that. Now, you, in all of this, there are other things which perhaps will come out later, but it's been a long time since this matter was on the table, you know. It's been a long time.
That I'm not aware of. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so down to brass tacks, 4341790. Good afternoon and welcome to the next caller.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Wickham.
Hi, how are you doing?
How are you?
I'm good,
Mr. Wickham. Yeah. Hello, Mr. Wickham. It is amazing that there was a time when I was calling for 3 days for you, and now you have become a last resort. Now, Mr. Wickham,
My presence here today and suggesting that I have a last resort.
Well, it is because somebody was scheduled to come, and then you.
But the gentleman that was scheduled to come was just here sitting down chatting.
Well, that is true, but right. Then you get a last minute call. You know, I just always call for advertising from early so that I can plan my day. So I know when it's
Strickers, yeah. Let me know. Worry about it. Anyhow, I'm here. I'm happy to be here.
So you leave it there. You leave it there, Mr. Wickham. Anyhow, Mr. Wickham, I want to take a look at the Attorney General. Mm-hmm. Now, Adriel Buffett was Attorney General somewhere between 8 and 9 years. Because he didn't come in at the beginning of the term. And the current Attorney General was finding any and everything to call for his resignation. I feel certain that there's more than 8 or 9, so it's more than 1 a year. You might even find it is even way over. But now, he can come and make a big boo-boo, and now he ain't prepared to stand by his own word. Now, if he called for resignation for some was very frivolous, but none was not to the extent of what he now did. And bear in mind that he just chastised a magistrate, telling him to stick with what is before him. No, he didn't stick with what was before him. And I'm saying that politely, he should man up and do the thing that he has been calling for the past 8 or 9 years and resign. And I'm saying that if he don't have the intestinal fortitude to do it, that the Prime Minister got to look that he was making blunder after blunder after blunder and give him his walking papers. Remember that Edmund Hinkson started responsible for the police. He came and he took it over as if he was saying, give me it, let me show you what to do. And the murders skyrocket, set record numbers. Even now in a curfew, we now had 3 murders in the midst of a curfew. He just ain't getting nothing handled. And politely, he should be prepared to abide by the standards he set, the resignation, and in the absence of that, the Prime Minister should give him his walking papers. Right now, the reason why he or nobody else wasn't appointed Deputy Prime Minister is because that there's no provision for it. And he shouldn't go appointing a second Deputy Commissioner when he knows there's no provisions for it. And you, Mr. Wickham, keep trying to mix up things. Remember that the current Chief Justice was appointed. And in order to appoint him, you had to make some changes. And they were done first so that it would be righted. And he had a lot to say on it too. So he's well aware of it. And now that the shoe is squarely on his foot, I would like him to put his foot in them and walk away. What you have to say about that?
I said already, didn't I? I thought that I said earlier on the program. No. And I know you were listening from the beginning.
You
I said that I thought that the appointment was not consistent with the best traditions of good governance.
But you also tried to tie it in with...
I tied it in because I said it's not as though it's the first time it happened. It has happened before.
No, you tried to tie it in with the executive...
Because your government, y'all had an executive director
right,
up there.
You tie it in with the chief
6 years.
That's what I'm showing you. You tie it in with the wrong thing.
I tie it in with Chief Justice too.
When you tie it in with Chief Justice?
I said that both administrations have changed regulations to appoint people that they wanted. The Barbados Labour Party did it with the senators, and the Democratic Labour Party did it with the Chief Justice. Both of you have done it.
But you tie it in.
All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. All of you have blood on your hands. None of you are, white as sheep. Hands like crimson or white as sheep.
I would like you to keep it here from the biblical analogy.
I like the biblical analogies because they're appropriate in this instance, because indeed all have sinned.
When you're speaking to me, keep away from them. Remember, I used to call you the justice of peace of the world. Because that you think, and you went one day and called high priest. I said, no, not high priest, call you on religious. Keep away from the biblical thing when you're dealing with me. Mm-hmm. Because when they start to deal with them, they can bring...
But they bring with them, deal with them.
I ain't dealing with no biblical nothing with you, Mr. Vickery. You save that for the rest.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I would just like that you be able to say that the Attorney General have made more than enough blunders that he should take his own advice.
I'm not going to say that.
You're not going to say that?
I'm not going to say that. That's what you want me to say. I'm not going to say that.
It is crystal clear, Mr.
I have expressed a view on it already, and I think that's as far as I'm prepared to go. The question as to the mortality of the Chief Justice is a matter that will have... Sorry, of the Attorney General is a matter that will have to be decided in another place, not me.
Well,
the Prime Minister will have to know.
No, you as a man that does give your opinion...
And I do, fearlessly.
And fearlessly.
Fearlessly.
And all of a sudden now you're...
I ain't biting back nothing, but I already said that I don't support it, Mr. Straker. Tell it to you what you want me to say.
But not supporting it and calling for the resignation is too
far. But I am not calling for his resignation because I don't call for nobody resignation.
But you're biting back.
I ain't calling for the speaker's resignation when he challenged. Okay.
Not as far as I know. That's all I tell you.
You know, Strakers, when you hang around politics as much as I do, you will find there are several instances in a political day that may be construed as requiring a resignation. And as I said, it is not as though either of us is without sin in this matter. When I say us, I mean us politically. The B's or the D's. All have sinned and come short of the glory.
Mr. Wickham?
Yes, sir.
You are missing the point.
I am not missing the point. I am hitting the point, the nail on the head.
We are well aware of that.
The resignation, the matter of resignation, is something which a leader would need to determine in his or her own deliberate judgment. I personally am not about to pass judgment on it. There have been times in the past I have felt the actions required resignations, and the resignations were not forthcoming. And that last incident was one of them.
Mr. Wickham, resignation is up to the person. Firing...
All right. Forced resignation.
So I'm accepting too.
Forced resignation.
And saying that he practiced calling for resignation, now he should man up and do it. That's all that I'm saying. I am calling for it, and I'm hoping that you would man up and do it too. That's all I'm saying. You can't preach it for 8 to 9 years.
I'm gonna read this, and I'm gonna beg Dennis to keep his finger on the button because I really don't know if I can say this.
No, somebody is saying something to you. Don't read nothing to me, Mr. Beck. If you know that is one of the things I detest. Please,
but it's a comment on the WhatsApp.
Please don't. You comment back to them by WhatsApp. Please don't read it. All right. My time. It is me.
It's sweet. Take it from me. It's sweet.
It is me that took up this phone that is paid for.
It's sweet, Strakers. Strakers, you're not even curious?
I ain't even curious. You know, curiosity killed the cat, and I don't carry that. I'm saying, Mr. Wickham.
You're waxing lyrically today.
That he preached.
All right.
So I want you to put it in practice.
Fair enough.
So I'm calling for it.
You're calling for it.
Mr. Ellis is still there?
No, Mr. Ellis is gone. He will be here on Monday morning, bright and early, 10 o'clock.
All right.
So you can call and chat with him directly.
You have a nice day.
All right, you too. Down to Brass Tacks, good afternoon. Yes, good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, Peter. How are you doing, man?
I'm good.
But you got a real hot morning in there.
Man, yeah. The studio ain't hot, though, but the conversation.
It's all right.
Before you turn around twice, it's 12 o'clock.
The AC, they can get put to work in there, man.
Yeah, that's it.
Charge, right? And people on point you with this pork thing.
You're a porky, too?
Of course not.
Okay. You're a Rastafarian?
Not really.
Okay.
But I do practice the way of Rastafarianism. I like the lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I respect the lifestyle. It's the only thing that I really relate to. But I try not to limit myself to anything, and I don't like religion. I don't talk about religion. I don't like it.
But you like the lifestyle, the consumption of food and so on?
Yeah, of course.
Okay. You wear dreadlocks?
Yeah, I got dreadlocks.
You wear dreadlocks, okay.
I got dreadlocks, man. Mm. Listen, your hair is your crown, man. Your hair is your beauty.
Mm.
Unfortunately for you, you ain't got none.
But I got hair, you mean?
All right, you got hair on your chin.
No, man, I have a full head of hair. And actually, it's fuller now than it has ever been. Dennis is just reminding. I actually have a minor afro now.
What I really calling about, right, because I'm a little bit discombobulated, right, and I would like to get sense trade note. You know, like, and they say that businesses could be open for curbside pickup if you got deliveries and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know how my businesses operate. People is only buying when they see me open.
Oh, you are the fish cake man? Oh, okay, no, I didn't realize.
Yeah.
No, I thought you would have introduced yourself as such when you called, but you didn't introduce yourself. Okay.
Yeah, man, just say, oh, let's take a walk out and walk back. You want me to hang out a call?
Right. No. Good to hear you. So your business is on hold still?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, and it's like, if Kentucky and any places can operate, if a restaurant can operate, I should be able to operate. You know why? Because people don't stick up around me. They come buy fish gates and go.
Mm-hmm.
The places that I go, like, I can use my wife's workplace for example. But when you go into her workplace, you can't come back out. Not that you can't come back out, but if you come back out, right, there's a big procedure with going back in with sanitizing and all that kind of stuff to go back inside the workplace, which is perfectly fine. So that kind of would hinder my van delivery service. Mm-hmm. You know, I know got to plan different and move different, right? But I think, though, that if these other places like Kentucky and Shafet and all these kind of places go open, I can open. Because when people come, I mean, when my fish gets going to pan, somebody come get them and they go.
I understand the challenge that you're having, but I also understand the decision that was being taken. Look, in Trinidad and Tobago, there's a big outcry regarding the sale of doubles. You know about doubles?
Yeah, no, doubles.
Right, they sell doubles in Carmel Rock too. Okay?
Yeah, you know.
The doubles vendors, and there's a huge industry in Trinidad and Tobago, especially in the south, of doubles vending. They are a bit up in arms because they believe that they are also being prevented from doing business, and they're saying that there's nothing that is likely to lead to transmission. The challenge, sir, is that food vending, especially food vending is, as far as street food is concerned, creates challenges in these types of environments. And what I would say to you, sir, is that as much as I understand the challenges is presenting to you financially, goodness knows, sir, I understand it because I too have been prevented from working, right? The difficulty is that we have to give our public health officials the necessary due regard and assume that decisions that they are taken in our own best interest and not because they want to favor one over the other. When KFC puts together a box of food or Chefet puts together a box of food and packages that box of food and delivers it to the person in the bag, they are confident that there's less likelihood of transmission. You may very well observe health standards, but can you say the same for the other fish gate man across the road?
Well, I can't say for the other fish gate person.
But there you go. And that's the problem. And that's the problem.
Operation.
Because if you're saying that we give vendors the right to sell food in open areas, then it means that somebody who sells out of the back of a van Who sells donuts can do that. Who sells fish can do that. Who sells pigfoot sauce can do that.
So and the donut man is start selling. The donut man still was there selling all the time.
Well, I don't know. I just use that as a general thing. Yeah, I wasn't being specific. But the point I'm making, sir, is that I think the concern may be that everyone may not have your standards and you may have a possibility for viral transmission. It's hard, and I am not suggesting it's easy, because as I said to you, sir, I too have not been able to work for the last several months because I can't work, I can't travel, right? So my mode of transportation has been curtailed. So I got to stop home like anybody else. All I'm saying is just trust that the decision is not being made to spite you. The decision is being made because the industry that you are in is one that is difficult, notoriously difficult to control. And as a result, unfortunately, the less careful have to pay, the more careful have to pay for the less careful. But you will probably be in the next phase though, sir.
You know, some person like me who got a serve-safe license, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, there are so many things, like, Kentucky been open for a couple of days or a couple of weeks or something, a week or two, something like that. And they've been doing deliveries and stuff like that, right? And even what I see as some person with a serve-safe license, I mean, it's like, my standards are way better than these people.
Right, but can you say the same? Can you say the same for the other fish guy across the road? You can't. Can you say the same for the doubles vendor up the road? You can't. Can you say the same for the guy that's selling fish and chicken out of the back of a van down the road? You can't. Can you?
No, I can't.
Right. The problem is that when you talk about going into an establishment like Chefette or KFC, you're essentially dealing with an establishment that has standards and regulations and so on that affect the entire establishment. They can't do that with you because you are an individual player, and I could tell you that you are more careful, but I got a lot of them out there that are not. So it is hard, and I am not trying to defend anyone, but all I'm saying is that, you know, there are, look, we're gonna have to walk slowly on this one. Listen, yesterday when I heard the Prime Minister saying that contact sports were not allowed, non-contact sports were allowed, and included in the contact sports were gymnasiums, right? Which basically means that I cannot exercise. I find that that's hard too, and I immediately had a problem with that because when I go in my gym, I don't touch nobody, right? Yeah. But at the same time, you got to pay due regard to the fact that the public health officials obviously know what they're talking about.
I study my survival too. I study my family survival, you know.
But sir, all of you, but you think it's any different for me?
Why?
Sir, listen, the vast majority of us that have been prohibited from working are facing problems. A couple of weeks ago, I was on this program and I was talking about people who work day to day and week to week, casual workers. Like somebody who walks around looking for labor or work, right? That person has not been able to work. And that's the kind of person who would say they would work, they would take $100 or $80 to work for the day, and they would go and buy things to put in the fridge. How is that person surviving over the last 6 weeks?
Boy, that's a hard one.
You do good business, right? And then your wife works. So you have a little something put down, I'm sure. Probably a big something.
I'm glad you say that, right? Because I don't know if you know about my case, right? But I had to pay my land tax. I had to pay my land tax. The government, I was paying land tax for property that I never had.
All right. No, but don't get into that, no. Don't get into that, no.
So
that's not...
all of that play, ain't it?
Sir, right? Sir, don't get into that, no. The point I'm making is that there are people who are in a less comfortable position than you that have been deprived of working for the last 6 weeks. And all I can say to you, sir, is that when things get to the stage where you can't take it no more or you are having issues eating and so on, there's a number that you can call for that kind of assistance. In the meantime, you got to write it out. It ain't going to be that much longer.
Listen, everybody was on quarantine for how long? 7 weeks, right?
Yeah.
I was on quarantine for 9 weeks.
There you go.
9 weeks I was on quarantine. Or to sheer honesty, I decided, you know what? I can close my business because my wife traveled.
And I commend you for that, sir. And I think that your clients will admire you and they will return to you because they realize that you are a decent individual.
Hey, is that fair? Welcome back up. You know what I mean? I mean, it's like I took my money out of my pocket and I built my business from scratch. I didn't take any loans from anybody.
Ain't easy.
I didn't get any grants, any handouts, anything.
So I could probably call 5 or 6 businesses to you now that closed down in this, that can't close back, open back. It's rough. Anyhow, sir, we're going to have to run. Down the brass tacks, 434-1790. We have quite a few WhatsApp messages, and I have to admit today I did not take too much attention, pay not too much attention to the WhatsApp messages. So for one here saying that the deputy commissioner issue is a storm in a teacup, an unfortunate oversight, but there's merit in the appointment. Is it really that egregious? Another one is saying that the barbershops are open and salons are open, and they want to suggest that persons who are there wear a visor to cover the face in that regard. Good afternoon. This concerns a matter of urgency for me. I did some contract work for government. You know, there was a contractor and a subcontractor. The money was paid for the contractor to the subcontractor, and this date I'm owed some money. It was drawn to detention, and monies were paid to the subcontractor who threatened me when I inquired about the matter, and a report has been made to the police. I'm just bringing this to the public's attention. I'm not sure that this is necessarily the best place to bring this type of thing. Anyhow, good afternoon, Peter. I have never eaten pork. As a matter of fact, I'm a vegan for the last 32 years. I'm also Seventh-day Adventist. Sorry, I'm not Seventh-day Adventist either. There's a text in the Bible from Isaiah 66:17, and I'm using God's word today, the translation. It says, people make themselves holy and prepare themselves for the garden rituals. They go into the garden and they devour pork, disgusting things, and mice. They will come to an end at the same time, declares the Lord, because of their actions and thoughts. Peter, pork is unclean and not fit for human consumption. I also agree with you on adultery and fornication. That's high on the list in Barbados, and it is all sin. Glad to have you on the air. You are, along with David and Dennis, my favorite moderators. Keep the good work up. And I want to thank you, ma'am, for that greeting, especially for your resounding rejection of the piglets. Regarding your recent conversation on the QEH, the problem starts at the top. If there's something wrong in the operating theater, the surgeon is the best person who's responsible for the patient. He has every right to highlight the problems. And that is your view, sir, and that is entirely reasonable. I do feel that there's a good reason why there is a head of surgery, a department of surgery. That is the reason why we have institutionalized departments. Someone else is saying, Peter, this is good counsel that you're offering, and I want to thank you, sir, for the reference. Regarding the fish cake man, I note that the cottage industries are open. He can do a strategic shift and sell his fish cake batter. Our people need to stop crying and be creative. Come off it, man. You ought to be a little more caring for the fish gate guy. Where's the fish gate guy located? I'd like to support him when I come back down. I'm always looking for good fish cakes. Peter, if you were operating a canteen, would you be able to work on Monday? I'm asking for someone. My understanding is that if you're opening, working a canteen, you will not be able to open on Monday. The arrangement seems to be for drive-through customers in that regard. And then the final one, good afternoon to you, Mr. Johnson. It's really hard in the Royal Barbados Police Force. Bear in mind that I am not Mr. Johnson. I am Peter Wickham. Right. It's really hard in the Royal Barbados Police Force with degrees that are overlooked, and it's a sad situation to admin. In most of the cases, you have to either be a B or an A and to carry news. People are just running from day to day and don't know what to do. As I mentioned, the cat likes who he licks in all of this nonsense. It has to stop, and it won't because of politics, a lot of underhand doings. Only in Barbados, it can't happen in Bermuda. If a corrupt place, because you could overlook people with degrees and make all kinds of people with only a birth certificate. It's really sad. All right, on that note, I'm done with that email, the WhatsApp, and we're going to go back to the calls, and let's say good afternoon and welcome to the first caller. Good afternoon and welcome. Good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air. Good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air.
Peter?
Yeah, hey, how are you doing, sir?
Yes, man. I am here. Oh, how you live, Mr. Tracker's Tentry Road, telling you that he want this WhatsApp message. He don't want to hear.
Yeah, I guess that is his right.
Peter, that should happen. He should go above the program the same time. I'd rather he come and tell you about it.
All right, don't worry about that, sir. What you have for me today?
You've got to worry. Peter, I want to know if these people forget, prior to the last general election, the things that happened, that should happen, and calling this program like they got the shame. Peter, there's a lot of things that happen. People getting renewal contract before contracts out. Ask Tenshi Road, FEN, remember that. We got to be reasonable, Peter. And this is real politics that going along now in a serious situation like this. I don't believe that things are happening now that should happen. All these kind of things, people that call in. Things happened before. And the barbers, their party, and come up their thing. This is COVID that people are frightened. All they know, people ain't know how long they gonna live. And they come in and talking nonsense. I don't even want to start on the program long.
All right.
Man, you got to dismiss these type of people.
Everybody has to have the opportunity, sir, to have their say on these matters. That is the way it works.
A man can come and tell you he don't want to hear a WhatsApp message. Mm-hmm. He should have on the program.
Mm-hmm. No, the WhatsApp message, the WhatsApp message that, I'm sorry, I was going to read the WhatsApp message to you, but I want to make sure that Dennis, the WhatsApp message basically said, Sturgis Tenshi needs to steer clear of this issue because the Attorney General did not put a gun in anybody's hand to shoot anyone, so he can go say his prayers and ask God to forgive him for his sins. That was the WhatsApp message. Hey? Sir? Hey, okay. You heard the WhatsApp message?
Yes,
right. Yeah. So that was all it was, but I don't know. He didn't want to hear it.
Okay.
All right, but all right, sir.
I just want to let him know that things that they people, all people, they make the noise over. A lot of things they did that was wrong. 3 weeks prior to election, general election, they did a lot of nonsense.
All right. So you're listening to your radio. Start listening to your radio. Yeah. All right, sir. I want to thank you for your contribution. Let's see if we can take a few more calls. And you're very right. I mean, as I said, none of us have sinned. Are all coming with unclean hands, if we were to use a biblical reference. Good morning and good afternoon and welcome to Don Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Hey, Mr. Wickham.
Yes, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Good.
Early in the program, you agreed with the stats, man, that Mr. Waldman should have been reprimanded for criticizing a policy initiative of the management of the QEH.
I said reprimanded?
Well, what do you say then? Tell me what you said.
I said I thought it was inappropriate.
Inappropriate, that's right.
And I think I also said that in an organization like this, an individual was reprimanded.
Right. You cited that, right. But that flew straight in the face of your own criticism of your own station manager.
Did I criticize anybody?
One second, please. Your station manager, in his own deliberate way, thought that this pursuing of this story was in the best interest of the public.
But right, I understand that. Now, where did you hear me criticize that? Because I get the impression that it's not only you that think so. But where was my criticism specifically?
You said that the station manager went on, it allowed Mr. Waldron.
No. I did not say that. And I'm not going to allow you to misquote me. Statsman said that he thought that the station manager should not have allowed him on the air. That was what Statsman said. Those are Statsman's words, not mine. What I said was that, in my opinion, the whole thing went on too long.
That's right.
Hold on a second. Did I say anything about the station manager's decision?
But
no. You need to withdraw that comment because I'm not going to allow you to cast me in a light that I did not say. I was very, very specific in relation to what I said. I said I thought the whole thing went on for too long.
Who allowed it to go on?
But that isn't a question of who allowed it to go on. I said I thought the whole thing went on for too long. Look, this is the situation here, right? I have difficulties with the actions that were taken by Mr. Waldron. That is my difficulty. I am not getting into this whole question of whether or not Starcom is in the business of news. If somebody is calling and they want to put a matter of national concern on the air, they have a right to do so. And they don't see a difficulty with that.
Let me speak, please.
No, but I have a problem with it, and you need to withdraw that comment that suggested that I was being critical of his station manager's decision to put him on the air, because I never said that.
But who was responsible for...
Sir, I never said that, and I need you to acknowledge that now, or alternatively, this conversation ain't going on no further. Because if we're going to have a conversation, we have to be fair, and we have to be honest regarding what I said and what I did not say.
Listen, you said that the matter was kept on the air for too long.
I said the matter went on for too long. What do I mean when I say the matter went on for too long, right? You know what I'm talking about? Mr. Waldron made comments on Monday. Mr. Waldron came back and made comments on Tuesday. On Tuesday, I listened to parts of that broadcast. On two occasions, I heard Mr. Waldron say the same thing, and I heard Dr. Cave say the same thing in response. And I noticed that the third time it came up, Dr. Cave said, but we cannot continue with this forever. And that is the concern I had in relation to it going on for too long, where you have the same person saying the same thing over and over again, and it is clear that these were issues that were discussed at the departmental level. They were fully ventilated, and a decision was taken. As far as I'm concerned, if you have a structure within an organization that is meant to deal with those things, that's what you do.
But the only person who could have kept it on...
No, that is not... But David was not hosting the program. Sanka was.
Well, wait a minute.
What nonsense are you talking? Who was hosting the whole program on Tuesday?
Mr. Ellis was co-hosting.
He was not hosting the program. Sanka was hosting the program on Tuesday.
But did he not make a major input in this program?
All right. You know what, sir? You're being difficult. I think you're being difficult. I think you're being difficult deliberately, and you're refusing to understand my concern in relation to this whole issue.
You are being hung on your own petard.
I'm being hung on my own petard. I want you to say what you have to say and put down this phone, because you are misleading people regarding the position that I took, because you seem to feel that it is your obligation to suggest that I am running up against David Ellis. And that's not what I am here doing.
Sir, the
conversation I am having, and you are refusing to admit it, and I'm getting annoyed because you're not going to do this to me. I have reservations about the manner in which the matter was prosecuted by Mr. Waldron. That is my concern. I think that Mr. Waldron was out of line, and I think that Mr. Waldron went on with the issue for far too long, because he was in a situation where he was repeating himself, he was saying the same thing, and management was saying what they have decided in response. And that was the conversation I said that went on for too long. It's not a question of who allowed it to go on.
You sided with the fat man. All right.
All right, sir, let's go. Let's move on. All right? I don't have no time for this today. Thank you very much for calling. I'd like to speak to someone else, Dennis, if you can, please.